According to multiple sources, there are over 1.5 million podcasts and 34 million episodes as of October 2020. 50% of all U.S. homes are podcast fans, 49% of podcast listening is done at home, and 22% of listening is done in the car. 45% of monthly podcast listeners have household income over $75,000. All of the major media companies like NPR, BBC, New York Times, ABC, CBS, Fox have moved some content to the podcast format, and they're very popular. Podcasts are here to stay and a potential opportunity for smart marketers. So on today's episode, we chat with Jason Stubblefield, a veteran podcaster, jack of all trades, and a personal friend. We discuss what it's like to launch a podcast and how companies can leverage the medium. Hang on tight. This is a podcast about podcasts. How very meta.
Welcome to Hit the Bottle Podcast, a show for beverage sales and marketing professionals looking to up their game and further their careers and businesses. Viewed through the lens of strategy, technology, and leadership, we explore everything from digital marketing, e-commerce, brand building, public relations, and much more. Each week, we chat with industry experts and leaders, explore practical applications, and discuss what's happening in our world. Our goal is to provide you with the insights and strategies you need to create successful marketing programs. Now it's time to hit the bottle.
My next guest on Hit the Bottle is an experienced award-winning blogger, award-winning filmmaker, a regular contributor to the Emmy award-winning daytime Blue Ridge, author of the monthly food and beverage column in City Lifestyles magazine. More importantly, he's the co-host of a weekly talk show called Wine Antics Live, and he's the co-host of the One Bourbon, One Shard, and One Beer podcast, which I've had the pleasure of being on. And finally, he is also a brand ambassador for Hotel Tango, which is the first combat disabled veteran-owned distillery in the country. So we usually call him Stub. Yes. So Stub, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Mike. Pleasure to be here.
I, as usual, it's always a great experience talking to you.
We always have fun, at least, right?
Yes, that's true. We at least have fun.
Yes.
So today we're talking about podcasts and how podcasts are relevant today more than ever. So I'm going to just throw out some statistics for our listeners. And that is that according to Nielsen, in their most recent podcast listener buying power paper, that even light podcast listeners spend about 10 hours and 13 minutes on the radio each week. Wow. So they're spending at least 10 hours a week. And then heavy podcast users are listening much more. And the podcast audience growth rate has been increasing for at least the last 5 years, and it's projected to increase for the next five as well. The interesting thing is that podcasting is not taking away from other media that people are consuming, but it seems to be like adding on. So there's still room for growth there in how people are actually listening to podcasts. And then, you know, I think most of us assume that we listen to podcasts in the car. I know I do. I know a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. And that's true for the heavy podcast listeners, but the lighter podcast listeners are listening more in their home. And why they're listening in their home is because of the emergence of smart speakers, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the Amazon, the Google, the Apple, you know, they all have these smart speakers that people are putting in their houses, and people are using those to listen to podcasts. So podcasting in general is something that I think everybody should be paying attention to. And so I wanted to have Stub on the show to talk about his experience with podcasts and also bringing in his perspective based on like all the things he's done in the industry. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been a bartender, he's managed restaurants, you know, he's done all kinds of stuff. So, and he also has a blog, Cork Envy, in which he writes about wine, and, you know, he's been doing that for almost 10 years now. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Stub, let's start off, like, you know, why did you start podcasting, and you know, what is it that was attractive to you?
Well, you know, like, you know, podcasts, I think, at least in my view, you know, it started off as, you know, this kind of underground almost thing, right? Like you almost felt dirty. Like it felt like you were watching like one of the late, late shows when you were a kid and you're hearing things that you shouldn't hear on TV, but you could hear them on podcasts. So with that, you know, and I think as far as the blossoming of podcasting, it, even in the last, and I'm going to say 3 years just to throw out a number. I think it kind of extended from, you know, the ability for everyone to have live video on their devices. So, you know, for me, this is a little bit more in depth of a live streaming issue, mm-hmm. which you mentioned Wine Antics Live, which, you know, that's a live stream show that Jen Nelson and I did. And, you know, it's her baby. And she called me on to co-host with that. And we've, you know, done that on and off for 4 years. We've taken a bit of a hiatus this year, but you know, she was very at the forefront with that and kind of drug me into, you know what, we're funny. We're, you know, pretty intelligent about this topic and, you know, work well together. Let's do this live stream thing. And, you know, that's a committed thing, the live stream. You have to sit and watch a video live stream. So I think that that is more of a destination thing than what we're talking about with podcasts. But I think podcasts can be destination for people. But I also think when you're doing a strictly audio podcast, you're looking at, you know, this is some passive entertainment or education for people as you go through it. And you have an opportunity there to capture some of their media time.
Right. You know, I listen to a lot of different podcasts on mm-hmm. on marketing and mm-hmm. Public relations, of course, and of course on wine as well. So what to you is the significance of podcasting today?
You know, I think it's being able to find your, tribe in a lot of different ways. And that can be good or bad, right? But if you have an interest, you can find a podcast about that interest. And I think people, you know, there was the joke, especially, you know, over this year with the pandemic, like, you know, and even before that, like, oh, I'm going to start a podcast, and kind of a joke. And how many new podcasts are coming out this year? Because people are bored. But I think when it gets down to it, if you have someone committing to a podcast about a specific niche, those people are committed, and they may not be the most formally educated in that arena, but they are the most interested people in that arena, right? So like I talked to my father-in-law about music. He was never in the music business, but you know, that guy can tell me chapter and verse, what year James Taylor released what album and who was on the track with him, because he's interested in that. So I think you get a very engaged, interested group of people who commit to doing a podcast regularly. And I think that's a great advantage for people who have niche interests.
Yeah. If you want to listen to a podcast on underwater basket weaving, it's out
yes.
there.
Yes.
And, you know,
and the second one of those is starting next week. Underwater with Stub is the name of it. It's not really, I can't hold my breath that long.
Yeah. You were Marine, not a Navy.
Yes. We had to do swim qual. So, you know,
yeah, I bet. So what's the audience like for your podcasts, and you know, like how is it that you serve that audience?
So, you know, for us, for my best good buddy Kern and I, we started One Bourbon, One Shard. Just a little background, if I can digress just yeah, very absolutely. Shortly. You know, I had this idea for a video series called Vino and Vinyl, where I would sit down and listen to a record and pair a wine with that record. Having tested that with a couple of hosts, it turns out that I didn't even care once I watched it back to sit there for, you know, 38 minutes to an hour and 2 minutes on a record to listen to whatever we could come up with on this. But I, you know, talked to Kern about that, and Kern and I had done some work together before as well with some of his wine clubs and wine shop businesses. And we have a similar sense of humor. We get along well, even though if you listen to the podcast, it sounds like we hate each other sometimes. But he's like, let's do something with music and booze, because we're both into that and we work well together. And it kind of came about that way. Now, as far as serving the audience, I mean, quite honestly, that joke about, hey, let's start a podcast is a little self-serving. When you first make that decision, it's a very self-serving, narcissistic decision to start a podcast. And I don't mean that in a critical way, but you have to have some confidence in, you know, what you want to say and what you want to cover to start a podcast. So, you know, our decision was basically, we're kind of funny. We like each other. Let's do something to kind of extend our, you know, both of us in the wine and beverage world, edutainment, you know, kind of reputations, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that you've hit the nail on the head when it comes to the motivation for starting a podcast. You know, we started this podcast, and I often quip that I started this podcast because I wanted a podcast that I wanted to listen to.
Right.
In that, and I get an opportunity to talk to a lot of smart people and record some amazing interviews. Right. And I hope that everybody finds value in that, but regardless, I find value in it myself.
Sure.
So, so I get a lot out of being a podcast host.
Right.
So,
so can I criticize you here though, Mike? You've really missed the mark here, having me on your show as far as interesting or engaging or something anyone, to include you want to listen to. And I say that jokingly. But I do appreciate being here, and, you know, to piggyback on that, it's a podcast you want to listen to. And, you know, you've talked about numbers and the like, and you and I have talked privately. You know, this year, oddly for us, we have fallen off in our listenership during this pandemic, because I do think we are a listen to this in a car, in the car on the way to work podcast. And I think, you know, your podcast more specifically is, you know, it's for people who are interested. And I've tried to share this with friends who aren't in the business at all, and they're like, why would I listen to that? Quite honestly. And it's not because it's not great. They're like, it is very inside baseball. So, you know, defining your niche, I think, is a is an important thing when you, you know, start a podcast. And, you know, are you going to shotgun that out for a larger audience, or are you going to be very specific for an audience who really cares about the very specific topic you're talking about and take something away from it? And then maybe, you know, moves on to engage some of those guests and hosts after the fact, which I think is awesome too.
Well, and I think that podcasting as a medium has an advantage in that regard, in that podcasts are something that you can start and stop fairly easily. Like, you know, you listen to 20 minutes of it, and then, you know, you go work for the day, and then you come back and get in your car and listen to the last 20 minutes of it or what have you.
Right.
You know, we try and keep this podcast under 30 minutes if we can, because, you know, we feel like that's the commute time basically of most people. You can't do that with live media, right? You can't do that with television,
right?
Because most people are going to be clicking through the channels as soon as a commercial comes on or what have you. And so this is really kind of along the same lines of all the other streaming media that we see taking over our hours of entertainment, in that, you know, you can listen to it at your leisure. You can listen to it in parts if you want. You don't have to listen to them in order if you don't want to.
Right.
So, you know, those are all advantages for actually, you know, having a podcast.
Yeah. You talk about, like, you know, media entertainment. I think also, though, that, you know, people look at their entertainment as education these days as well. Mm-hmm. And I think podcasts are a natural, they're a very, very natural way to kind of bridge that gap. You know, you're not watching something on the History Channel. You're listening to someone talk about something in an, you know, in an arena in which you're interested. And I think that podcasts really do a good job of drilling that down. You know, the only podcasts, honestly, there's podcasts I don't like because I don't like them and I'm not interested in the topic. But, you know, the only ones I really don't like are political podcasts.
Here's a message from our sponsor.
I mean, personally, like everything else, I've heard podcasts and I'm like, if you produce it well and you present something, you know, it's an educating thing or an entertaining thing sometimes as well. And sometimes you like the entertainment and sometimes you don't, depending on the sense of humor or the take or whatever. Yeah. So for me, like, pretty much any podcast that's available, I will listen to at least one time, unless it's politics. And that's just because that seems these days, and I'm not getting political, but it just seems to be a bunch of yelling to the same people who believe what you say. So that to me, you know, that to me goes different from, you know, niche of people interested in this one area, more to just finding a reason to be angry with whomever you should be angry with.
Okay. Yeah. So let's say, all right, this is the conversation that you and I can help shed some light to some of my listeners. Okay. Let's say you want to start a podcast. Okay. What are some of the things you need to think about when you are going to start a podcast?
Ooh, number one, don't start a podcast. I say that jokingly. No, I think number one is have a very specific topic goal in mind. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think that's the first and foremost, is that have a very specific topic goal. Now, if it's, you know, all of entertainment and you're doing a, you know, Entertainment Tonight like podcast for, you know, on audio, that's fine, but have that goal in mind. Number two, I would say figure out who your audience is for that.
Yep.
And that to me is the most important thing, is figure out your audience.
Yep. And then, you know, I think, you know, along those same lines is have the proper expectations, right? You know, I'm sure that there's a lot of people who say, oh, I'm going to launch this podcast and it's going to have millions of listeners, you know, as soon as I launch it, which we all know is not going to be the case.
Right.
It takes time.
Mike, it's like you've been reading my mail in that regard.
Yeah. It takes time to build up that audience. And cause a lot of it is word of mouth, especially if you're a very niche podcast. Is people say, oh, have you listened to this podcast or listen to that podcast? I have people all the time who ask me, hey, what podcasts are you listening to? And I freely share whichever ones they are. Mm-hmm. So setting your proper expectations, and then equipment wise.
Yes.
What are your recommendations? I have recommendations too, but what are your recommendations when it comes to equipment?
Get yourself some kind of external microphone. If it's a USB microphone, great. If you have, because you were an old musician, you know, and you've got a bunch of equipment laying around your house, you can use any quality mic if you get a proper USB input for your computer. But sound is important for audio and, you know, or for an audio medium, obviously. And that's a thing, you know, we struggle with sometimes as guests, having guests on the show, as Mike, I'm sure you have, and I'm not outing anyone specifically, not asking you to, but they don't have proper equipment and they're using their onboard on their MacBook Pro microphone, which is great, except they're using it in a very, not well, soundproofed, you know, dining room in their home, and it's very echoey, and they pull their headphones out of their ears a little bit. Headphones are the most important thing when you're recording audio over the internet, because even if you pull your headphones out or off a little bit, your audio is going to bleed over and echo.
Yes.
The entire time. And it's going to make the worst day for the person who has to edit that audio on the other end.
Yeah.
And sometimes renders it useless, mm-hmm. in some regards. So yeah, the equipment, like I said, it can be, you know, there are quality USB mics you can purchase for, you know, $50 or so. Yeah, you can spend $100 and get one that's really good. Mm-hmm. You can get yourself an input and plug a, you know, whatever great mic you have or average mic you have into it. But quiet space, headphones, and a dedicated microphone for me are, you know, those are necessary things. If you're now deciding, I'm going to do this now as a thing I'm doing, not occasionally.
Right. And then finally, the tech stack, you know, basically you need some way of editing the podcast. I mean, you don't have to edit the podcast, but most of us are not capable of like starting recording and going through the whole thing and then ending recording flawlessly, right? You know, most of us need a little editing at least. Plus you want to put in intros and outros, and you know, if you want to include any kind of advertising or anything like that, you need to have an editing software to do that. You know, I use Adobe Audition, which comes with my Adobe suite, but you can use things like GarageBand. Mm-hmm. There are any number of editing softwares out there, and they don't, you know, there's some learning curve there.
Yes.
But you know, generally speaking, you can get into it pretty quickly.
Yeah, and there's some freeware, but once again, if you're a Mac user, you get GarageBand on your computer. You can use that. I've not been in the Windows environment for quite a while, so I don't know what we're getting on the Microsoft with that. But I know there's ones out there. There's ones you can download for any platform that are, you know, freeware. That, quite honestly, for simple purposes, are fairly easy to learn. If you know anything about sound, they're fairly intuitive. Mm-hmm. If you don't know anything about sound, there's plenty of YouTube videos. But yeah, slight editing is great. Like, now I will say with that, Mike, I love on a podcast, like sometimes things come up and people laugh or you go off on a tangent, and that's part of the entertainment and the education of the show. Yeah. But yeah, every now and again, someone's going to get into a coughing fit because they hadn't dusted their desk in 3 years, or, you know, allergy season, or somebody's got, you know, half a sinus infection and is, you know, snorting all night or whatever.
Dogs rush into the room and.
Yeah. Dogs. Barking. Yeah. And at some point, like, the dog bark is funny for like the first 3 seconds, and then you're like, oh, well, everybody's trying to record while, you know, your partner's trying to yelling and screaming and cussing at your dog. Yeah. Maybe edit that out and go ahead and just start that little part over. So that is useful. But honestly, editing podcasts, I think if it's just straight audio without music, is probably pretty easy. Yeah. It depends on the environment in which you and your guests are recording for me.
Yeah, so, and if you do want to add music to your podcast, you're going to have to go for royalty-free music or have somebody record it for you. So you need to make sure that you stay above board on that. And then also,
or in the case of One Bourbon, One Shard, I will say, you know, we play our songs because we do the drinking game and matching you know, different libations with music. You know, that's a royalty-free thing for commentary and criticism,
right?
Which,
and you're not playing the entire thing. I will say, you're only playing a song.
Yes, we would never play the entire song on our show. Once again, we've gotten around that, to be quite honest, because I think we do go in the spirit of that. But yes, if you want to use any music on your show, definitely do that and not use all of it, especially if you're using music for an intro. Like, you can't use your favorite Rihanna song as an intro to your podcast without permission, friends.
Yeah,
I will say that. Don't do that. You will get hurt. But once again, if you have a Mac and you have an editing software, there's stuff, you know, there's music included that you can use. Like, find one that you can do, or, you know, join. There's royalty free sites where you can download.
Plenty of royalty free, you know, music and, out there. Yeah,
you pay your, you know, $20 to $100 a year, and you can download all the music and sound bites you want. So
Exactly. Okay, so for the benefit of the listeners.
Yes.
You know, I see two applications for podcasts in their world. Mm-hmm. One of those is being a guest on podcasts. So how do you select your guests and like, how do you work with other podcasts to be guests on their show?
That's a great question, actually. You need to find a show with which, you know, it doesn't need to be the exact niche you're in, but find something that complements what you're doing. And it can be, you know, we talk about podcasts, you know, well, once again, I'm on this podcast here. This is a complimentary podcast. Yeah. It's complimentary, but meta as far as what we do, podcasters, boozy podcasters talking about boozy podcasts, but find someone who complements you and with whom's, you know, with an audience in which you're going to intersect. I think that's an important thing. And then I think as far as choosing your guests, I would say the same thing, except you're not always choosing your guests who are podcasters, right?
Right.
So as far as other podcasters, find some complimentary ground. As far as guests, and once again, it depends on your niche, right? Like Mike, you're never going to have anyone on who, you know, is like a tool and die person, because that makes no sense for, you know, for your podcast here, for our purposes of, you know, beverage marketing. But, maybe get outside the lines and, you know, it's not that hard to go, you know, with someone who's, you know, maybe in the food world or in the entertainment world or hospitality world, and where you can get those in, but don't go completely outside the box necessarily with choosing your guests. Find someone who's going to do that. And then find someone who's going to be excited to be on your podcast, because even podcasters whom you think, if we're, you know, doing this kind of, you know, crossing the streams a little bit, so to speak, no pun intended there, and a little incestuous with other podcasters, you know, find someone who's also going to help you out.
Yes.
And also consider if they're going to be a good guest on your show, because that reciprocity for, hey, you're on my show, I'll be on your show at some point, and there's some reciprocity there, and we'll both help promote each other. You know, that's great. And sometimes as a podcaster, you know, running a podcast, you find people who have more followers than don't, and you realize that some of those episodes with people, more people listening to them, even if they're a little outside of your specific niche, they've brought more people into the fold for you. So don't be afraid to be selfish in that regard, in asking someone to be on your show and then asking them to promote your show and then asking to be on their show as well.
Yeah. You know, and for this podcast, for Hit the Bottle, we have a lot of guests on who don't have podcasts. Mm-hmm. So really it's just a matter of, you know, for us, it's educating our listeners on the subject that we're talking about. And then the benefit to the guest, obviously, is that they hopefully get an increased audience out of it. So as a, you know, let's say you're a wine producer, you're, you know, a CEO of a winery or a winemaker of a winery, and you want to promote the winery a little bit more, you know, getting onto podcasts and having them interview you about your experience is a pretty good marketing tactic.
Yeah, because there's nothing better than having, you know, one more thing. You'd be like, hey, I was on this thing. And even if people don't know what that thing is, podcast wise, they're like, oh, they were cool enough to be asked on this podcast. And once again, we can laugh about everybody starting a podcast, but I think those of us who have been doing this for a while and have committed to it, you know, we are committed to it. And hopefully we all, you know, perform better every episode and figure things out. But I think those of us who have committed to podcasts are committed to doing, not only doing the podcast, but also, you know, espousing the virtues of whatever, you know, niche or industry we're talking about.
Yep.
And that's a benefit for everybody.
Yeah. And the second way I think this is applicable to the listeners is if they want to start a podcast, you know, and I think that, you know, you have to look at it in terms of there's an audience out there for you. It may not be huge, but they're out there.
Right.
And again, it's a way for you to connect in a different manner with with your customers, with your partners, with whomever else, the industry as a whole. It is a great tool and fairly easy. You know, for me at least, it's easier than video. You know, it's easier than writing. You know, I love writing and I do a lot of it, but this is even easier than that. So, you know, it's fairly easy to get up and running with it and it can have a big impact pretty quickly.
I agree. And I've said for, you know, a couple of years now, Kern and I have been doing the One Bourbon, One Charter, One Beer podcast for, I think we're coming up on our fourth year now. And I've said for the last several years, like, it's the most fun thing I do that is work related. And it is a lot of work to make it good and make it better than we started out. Cause we started out, we made all the mistakes you're not supposed to, you know, we were, you know,
everybody does. It's just going to happen. You have to be okay with it.
Lost episodes, the whole nine. I was like, but whatever, but it's the most fun thing because, you know, you do the prep work, but then you just sit down and you have fun with, you know, if you have a co-host, one of your best good friends. And if you have a guest, and we've had, you know, mostly great guests on. Who are engaging and kind of get in on the action with us. It's just fun at that point. Yeah. No, I said mostly, I was not talking about you specifically. I was talking about, my mic went out there for a minute. No, it's fun. It's a fun thing, but it's also fun to get those different perspectives from people. And Mike, you're doing a great job here with Hit the Bottle as well, getting people in the industry from all different, you know, kind of from different angles and different perspectives. And that's something that I have really enjoyed listening to on the podcast here. And then was also like, why do you want me on here, man? Oh,
well, I think everybody, having listened to this episode already knows why I want to join.
Well, I hope so. I hope that's the case.
So, we do have to wrap it up here. Please. Any closing thoughts on podcasting?
So I will thank you again, for having me on the show. You know, podcasting, it's frivolous and fun, but it's serious work on the front and back side of it. So if you want a podcast, don't take it lightly doing that. one thing I did want to say is when you start a podcast, I promise you, your best friends and neighbors are not going to be your audience for it. No. I don't care how much they love what you do and that you're in this fun industry. And oh my gosh, I wish I could do that. I wish I could drink for a living, which is the perception of people sometimes not in the beverage industry that you just wake up and start drinking all day. Those are not the people who do it. If you want that kind of love and support from your family and friends and neighbors, start a local band.
Yeah,
because they're also not going to come to your shows. And let's pretend it wasn't COVID time. They're not going to come to your shows. You're going to get like one large group at your first show and then no one else is going to show up. So, you know, and Mike, you brought this up also, like set expectations. Just because people think you have a cool job and are interested, they're not necessarily going to listen to what you have to say when it comes to work, because we all can all, you know, bitch and moan about work around, you know, around a beer at the end of the day in the driveway. But we also don't want chapter and verse of what everyone's done every day either. So,
it really comes down to know who your audience is, make sure you're providing value.
Yes.
And entertainment. So,
yeah. And be able to cut your guests off when they're rambling. That's a very important part of it.
So anyway, we got to end it here.
Yes. There you go, softball.
Hey, Stubb, thanks a bunch for being on the show. This was highly entertaining. One of my favorite awesome recordings. So
awesome.
Thanks a bunch. And hopefully cool, we can have you on again sometime.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, man.
This has been Hit the Bottle, a production of Balzac Communications and Marketing. You can find past episodes on our website at htbpodcast.com. Drop us a line on social at htbpodcast or send us an email to mike@htbpodcast.com or emma@htbpodcast.com. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen. If you like this show, please rate and review in any of the mentioned platforms. Thank you for joining us. Have a great day.